Ever wonder if there's more to the movies you love? Do you like to ponder how they got from A to Z? Who chose the plot twists? Why use those characters? Is there a deeper meaning? We're here to explore those questions and maybe learn a bit along the way. VGB Studios proudly presents The Filmlosophers.
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of The Filmlosophers, the show that gets into the movies you love and digs a little deeper.
Bravo!
Yes, I know how to speak eloquently. My name is Spencer Williams and I am joined, as always, with my host, Eddie Biff Tannen.
Wow, how long have you been waiting to do that one?
This is my episode now.
The tables are turned and I am now the co-host.
It's going to be a fantastic episode, everyone, because we're also joined with another person, my good friend and movie enthusiast, Marcus Arroyo. How you doing, Marcus?
I'm doing great. Big fan of the show. Love movies. So let's just get to talking about it.
Oh, it's going to be great.
Well, there we go.
Yes.
We're talking about Back to the Future. The Filmlosophers podcast are a blast from the past and brought to you by Mingle Media TV and VGB Studios. Each Wednesday morning, check your plutonium levels and download the latest episode on your favorite streaming platforms such as Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Libsyn, Player FM, and Audioboom, and Pandora! Sorry, I had to do that. It's not where the hell are they, but when the hell are they? Yes, I literally just did that. Jump in your time machine and connect with us like yesterday on Facebook at facebook.com/filmlosophers and on Twitter at twitter.com/filmlosophy101. Finally, don't be a chicken and head on over and check out our entire list of episodes at filmlosophers.com. We got over 180 episodes, right, Spence?
Yes. Yes, we do. I was like, 80. Are we up there already? Yes, we are.
We are.
Yeah, so we have over 180 episodes. They're fantastic, and you should check them out. But I think we'll get into today's discussion, yeah?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I
mean, of course. This is so interesting. You're driving the ship. I'm sitting over here, and I'm like, I'm normally used to like interjecting at about right here, and you're just like, yeah, okay, so I'm going to take the reins. And Marcus is over here sitting quiet, and I'm like, is Marcus real?
I'm here. I'm definitely here.
A lot of this feels like riding the bike for a first time. We're like, oh, this is terrifying. But terror aside, we're going to get into today's movie, Back to the Future. We have a 3 films worth of movie to discuss, so hop right into it.
That's right. The official synopsis, according to our friend and actually creator of our intro, John Bailey from the Honest Trailers YouTube. The first film sees our young protagonist travel to the past, beat up the bully, fix the future, and set up for the sequel. Where in the second film, we see our young protagonist travel to the past, beat up the bully, fix the future, and set up for the sequel. And finally, in the third film, we see our young protagonist travel to the past, beat up the bully, fix the future, and create an open-ended conclusion for more time travel fun.
Like, I'm gonna be nitpicky here, but like, he traveled to the future first in the second one.
Nitpick, whatever you want to do.
Yeah. It is what it is.
It is.
Directed and co-written by Robert Zemeckis, the film stars Michael J. Fox as teenager Marty McFly, along with Christopher Lloyd, Leah Thompson, Crispin Glover, and others. That is so hard to do with people's names. Okay.
What, Crispin Glover?
Yeah.
Read them? It's hard to read people's names?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm
like,
just asking.
People have hard names. That's all I'm saying. Okay, Eric Stoltz was the original Marty McFly, but was fired for being too dark and brooding in what was supposed to be a more comedic role.
That's right.
And if you have not seen this, go to YouTube and please check out Eric Stoltz's scene, because it is just a wildly different movie.
Strange.
It really is.
It looks like he's overacting like the whole time.
It's the scene essentially when he first meets his dad in the diner, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it looks wrong. Like, after all these years of seeing this movie, it just feels wrong seeing anybody else in the role of Marty, personally.
Yeah. Crispin, see, it's hard for me to say his name. Crispin Glover did not appear in the sequels, except in archival footage of him at the Enchantment Under the Sea dance. He did have a body double in the sequel while being upside down, and when Glover found out, he sued, settled out of court for $500,000.
That's true. That's Crispin amazing. Glover had some real big issues during the filming of the first film with Robert Zemeckis, and then after the first film, Robert Zemeckis was like, I don't want to bring that dude back. No way. But unfortunately, he was a part of the first film, so having to go back in time, you're kind of going to have to need to have certain access to certain people for roles. But yeah, when they didn't bring him back, I'm pretty sure it was like on everybody's mind, like, how are we going to show him in the film? And so when they use the body double, when the grandfather is actually being brought into the house in the future, mm-hmm. you know, oh, he threw out his back or whatever. That was actually a body double. That wasn't Crispin Glover.
Yeah, it's very hard to recognize people when they're upside down is the lesson.
Well, and then also, like, they removed any possibility of them using him at all in the third one by saying that he got shot in a bar thing or whatever because someone called him chicken. That's in the third one. So they removed him altogether from ever being in that one.
When he was with... In the alternate 1985?
When he was in the 1885.
Oh,
the third
yeah,
film.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Like, so in that timeline, instead of using him, like, they actually changed the storyline to where he was actually shot before.
I don't remember this bit.
Yeah.
I'm going to look this up because it seems suspicious. you like how, now that I'm
Did
in charge,
Did you watch an
I'm
alternate
going,
movie?
Ooh, he watched the alternate Back to the Future.
There you go.
A little bit of trivia. The to-be-continued title card that ends the original Back to the Future wasn't seen in theaters. It was only added for the home video release after the actors were locked into two sequels. You have to make sure you lock in those people because, you know, contracts are just hell for movie companies.
That's an understatement because essentially everything is based on contracts. No, he wasn't shot. He was murdered. By the way,
that was in the second film.
In the third film,
no. The newspaper said
that's
that
right,
George
he was murdered in the
murdered.
Second one. You're
yes.
right. You're right. You're
okay,
right.
Yes,
I was right in the alternate 1985.
Yes.
Right? Okay. Yeah,
yes. Yeah. Okay. This bus is now back on track.
Okay.
Two McFlys, one gun.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
yeah.
like that.
Okay. So this is a spoiler review because this movie has been out for
but
30
for
years.
For God's sakes, if you haven't seen this movie
please,
already,
please watch this movie.
Jump in front of whatever DeLorean is driving down the road and just do us all a favor.
Might be
because,
hard to find.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, there's a whole big fan club of people who just make DeLoreans that look like this car.
I got to sit in one.
True.
Remember?
Yeah,
I got to sit in one at work.
Oh yeah, they brought one by. Didn't
yeah,
they?
I sat in it. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and we've had a chance, Spencer,
yeah,
to go
I
and
sat
check
in
out the ones.
Too.
Oh, the one at CrockerCon.
Yeah.
Last year.
Oh. Okay.
That was actually really cool. The That's guy awesome. Who brought it actually looked like Doc Brown. I don't know if there was a Marty there.
I don't think so. I think it was just the guy. Mm. Those things are incredibly cramped.
Like, yes, it's like really tight to fit in those.
Yeah, like I couldn't legally drive that car because it's just that cramped.
It was interesting trying to see Spencer get out of the car more so than get in. It was like, have you ever tried to get that last piece of like little thing in the middle, in the bottom of a can or something? That Pringle
yeah.
that's at the very bottom, and you just got to like ultimately like crack it in half just so you can actually get it to come out.
Okay, like,
that was Spencer.
I didn't break my back trying to get out of this car.
Yeah, but
car.
You rolled out like you were tucking and rolling.
It was
Miami Vice over at CrockerCon.
This car was so weird because it was so low to the ground that, like, you know, I couldn't just like stand up out of a car like I normally do.
Nope.
So I couldn't roll.
Yeah, it is not comfortable getting out of that.
It's like people in the 80s were like 5'5" perpetually. Like
it
nobody
was like could. Everyone
it was
hobbits.
A different time.
But we're talking about Back to the Future, right,
yes,
Spence?
Yes. Yeah. We are getting into that, and so yeah, I guess we're going to talk about our expectations on this film.
I mean, sure. This is your ship there, buddy. I mean,
I'm just going to talk about.
Well, because like, if you think about it, like one of the reasons. So just for context real quick. So the reason why Spencer is heading this episode is because for Spencer, one of his favorite films in all of movie history, essentially, is the Back to the Future franchise.
This is why I called you out on the thing earlier, because I'm like, no, I'm sure that it's not that.
See, that's the great thing about this. You never know if I'm like being genuinely dumb or if I'm just trying to make you upset. Like, because I love making you upset. You know this. There's nothing. Like, I will.
Now
I would,
that you've
I
thrown
would
this
say,
out as a possibility, I am instantly angered.
As you should. But here's the bigger question, Spence. Why is this movie such a big part of you? Like, why are you so enthralled with the Back to the Future films? As opposed to, like, the Highlander films. Or as opposed to, I don't know, Time Cop. Or whatever. Like, I'm going in two different directions here. You got Sean Connery and, you know, swords, and Jean-Claude Van Damme and splits. I'm just saying.
Just side note. I love Time Cop too. It's amazing.
Well, that sounds like another show we're gonna have to
Oh
do,
yeah,
but
that and Bloodsport. Oh my gosh, we're cool doing a John Scott Van Damme day. There has to be one. Okay, but the reason why this movie is so important to me is it's kind of like really the first movie I really remember watching with my dad, and so there's like a lot of family bonding time wrapped up in it. Plus it helps that the movie by itself is amazing. And plus, okay, yes, all right, thank you very much.
So cute.
Okay, whatever. It also helped that, like, at the time in the 90s there was the animated TV show that went along with it. So,
well, I don't know if it went along with it, but it came after it.
Yeah, it came after
it. Like, there was no, like, tandem, you know, working in tandem, like Marvel's and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or whatever. Like,
okay, this was the 90s. We didn't have that level of, like, interplay in art.
We didn't.
But, you know, Bill Nye was in that show, and he's amazing.
I'm glad, like, you got your priorities down. Like, you know, it doesn't really matter who else was in the show, but Bill Nye was in the show.
Come on, like, I was a kid who loved doing science, so, like, this show tied in real science sometimes.
Rules. Because I'm a man of science.
So, like, all those things kind of, like, melt together, and that's kind of why this is my favorite movie. Right?
Marcus, like, what gun did this guy put to your head to get you on tonight's show?
Okay, not everyone has to coerce their guests onto the show.
He asked if I wanted to be a part of it. I said, why not? I haven't done something like this. I've listened to a lot of your guys' content. It's nice. It's fun. It's fluid. Seems to be anyways.
It's nice. Okay, well, what's your history with Back to the Future?
Kind of play off yours, too. My mom showed it to me. It was probably one of her films that she had growing up, but she was about 15 at the time, probably when it came out. Mm-hmm. It's 1985 movie comes out. So for me, I think it kind of just does a similar thing. You know, this film series is also a great conversation starter to, like, talk about, like, time, and not just how time is, but, like, how, like, you know, Marty goes back and he sees his parents that have previously, like, lived a different life before he's born, you know. And so you get that whole perspective from, like, your parents, like, oh, they were totally different people before I was along. I thought they've always been these boring people or these sad people, and they're not.
He's got a point.
And so that's what I think I loved about the film. You know, you always think about, now I always think about, like, who were my parents before I came along, kind of thing. And so I think that's why I like the whole idea of, like, time and what this movie does. So that's where I'm at with this movie.
That's a really good point. That's a really good perspective.
Yeah.
And similar to that, like, in that same fashion, movies have always been a big part of my life. And so Back to the Future obviously had to have happened. I actually remember when the third film came out, my dad actually took me to the movies for it, I believe.
Wait, you got to see the third one in theaters?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, I hate you.
What, you didn't see it? I mean, it was 1990. I remember I was like five, but or four, but I remember going to the movies and seeing it.
No, I would have been like three. So,
sorry.
Yeah.
No, but like the idea of the idea of going to see this movie, like, this was one of those movies where I got the chance in the infamy of Back to the Future to actually see one of these movies in the theater. And it wasn't the first or second one, but shoot, I'm glad it was at least one of them. And ever since that one, like, my dad ended up taking me home, and we got a chance to see the first one and the second one all over. And then the cartoon series came out shortly after that. And then things started kind of steamrolling with, like, video games and conversations. And then it kind of just splattered itself all over pop culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody wanted the Nike, you know, self-strapping shoes and the and the jackets that like fit to people's, you know, actual arm lengths, and people wanted, you know, that ridiculous looking cowboy wear that, you know, Marty was wearing when he first went to the past. And
wait, people wanted that?
Yeah.
Huh.
I wanted it. Shoot.
Are you people?
I am people. Shoot.
Yeah, I feel like that was the read on that statement.
I care.
Yeah, do you guys remember, like, what was it, back in, like, 2013, when everyone was like, it's almost 15, those shoes, and then people started trying to make their own self-lacing shoes before Nike actually tried to do it?
Yeah, like, all these engineers were, like, coming out of the woodwork and like, oh, we gotta make the shoes, because it's almost 2015, and blah, 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 blah. And, like, making their own prototype, obviously. Yeah. And then Nike, I guess, either they took whoever's best idea or they actually had somebody working on it and ended up giving the first pair to Michael J. Fox. Yeah. I almost said Marty Mc... Yeah. You know.
You know the guy.
You know the guy.
I have something to say on that. I mean, shoes are great, but where the heck is my hoverboard and my flying car? I was so disappointed. The more and more I got into the future after I saw these movies as a child, the more and more I was disappointed in how the future was going.
Well, even worse, it's like you finally get the movie on DVD, like the first, you know, when DVDs were coming out, you get the movie on DVD, and I didn't know about it at the time when they were making the second film, but like apparently Robert Zemeckis is over here doing like extra special features on the DVD saying like, oh yeah, hoverboards have been around for years. We just got a few, you know, the mothers or the parents again, whatever, crazy toys, whatever, had them all, you know, tossed away or whatever, and so essentially there's been hoverboards for years. We just got our hands on a few of them for the movie. I'm like, you lying sack of, like, I just wanted to, like, I'm like, how could you do that? I'm glad I didn't hear that when I was like 4 or 5, because then I would have really been pickles, like pissed to the moons.
Yeah, I remember hearing, because like the hoverboard in the movie has Mattel's logo on it, that Mattel had to deal with the fallout from that because, you know, they're the company who allegedly makes hoverboards. And they had to, like, release a statement. It's like, we never made these. These don't exist.
We're not associated. Deny. But it's so interesting to see, like, how much, even though this movie's, you know, X amount of years old, however that equates to, like, what, 10, 20 plus years. You know, it's still really cool to see how this movie is much a part of, like, our everyday, you know, culture and the nostalgia for a movie who's all about going back to the past and back to the future and back to the past, the nostalgia of it as well. And, in all honesty, was brought even back up to the forefront of this past year, this current year, with Avengers Endgame.
Let's talk about Endgame for a second.
Oy vey.
Here you guys go again.
Okay.
Spencer.
No, because like I remember just being in Endgame being like, oh yeah, this movie's awesome. And then out of nowhere, Professor Hulk is like, ooh, Back to the Future doesn't work. And I'm like, listen, Marvel. Like, you have
a mutated green grape of blob
movie here. Don't come at my movie when you can't even keep your own consistent time travel story, okay?
Wow.
Like, no, I'm calling them out. Like, if you're going to be like, oh, this doesn't work, then you better make sure your boat
there's a strong possibility Mark Ruffalo might actually hear this.
There is not.
You don't know.
He might Hulk out on you.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
Guy's an eco-terrorist, he'll go off on you. it's funny, like, Back to the Future was talked about so much in Avengers Endgame, I think it sparked like a lot more curiosity to like, hey, you know what, I haven't seen that movie since everybody was talking about it back in 2015, let's watch it again, you know. And I think it's bringing a little bit more of that back to the forefront of people remembering and re-remembering a lot of the part of that film.
Yeah, it's a great movie. I mean, it's a pop culture icon, like you explained. Like, it's one of those things that's just embedded, just like Star Wars, just like Avengers. It's now just embedded into the culture.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You can't go anywhere or see a show that isn't going to reference it.
Like, no, completely.
Yeah, and it's crazy, like, just how it pops up in things that probably have nothing to do with, like...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, and even its impact just altogether, like... You're looking at everything this movie has already created out of just these three movies. You had a cartoon series. You had a ton of video games, even up until, a few years ago. I think the last one was, like, in 2012 or 2013.
They did, like, a Telltale.
Yeah.
They did a Telltale. Yeah. and they did a comic book series, and now they're actually doing a musical.
What?
That is going to be released in 2020.
Hold up. Is Huey Lewis in the news coming to do that?
Oh, I really hope not, but I mean... Is that guy even still alive?
They were playing at Thunder Valley, I think, the other few years ago.
Now, was it all of them, or was it just quote-unquote
Huey Lewis?
You know,
I think it was the news.
Well, so, you know, either Huey Lewis or the news is alive.
So one of those two is happening.
One of those entities.
But it's just, it's really cool to see how, like, a movie that we grew up with, because you get, I mean, let's just be honest, we're all at that age where a lot of people talk like, oh, you know, I remember movies back in my day. I remember when Star Wars was out. Or I remember when, mm-hmm. you know, Indiana Jones was blah, blah, blah. Or I remember when, you know, Jesus lived next door. Like, stuff like that. You remember. And you're like, oh, well, cool, I guess. But then now you look at things like this and you're like, oh, this was our generation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this was something that we get to, you know, claim as our own, have ownership of it.
Yeah, it's probably also why... it's inspiration for other people. For instance, one of the more popular shows on TV, for better or worse, is Rick and Morty. And that is just based off of Back to the Future.
You are 100% right. I totally forgot about Rick and Morty. That is such a horrible adaptation.
Yeah.
Horrible good or horrible bad?
Both. I don't even know what to say. It's like... We try to maintain like some type of family-friendly atmosphere on this show,
but of course, yeah.
We go to Rick and Morty, and I'm gonna have to change them ratings. Record okay. a whole new intro,
keeping
like
keeping it family-friendly.
Please be advised: this has some graphic language and violence.
All I'm saying is it exists and is a very rough like extension of Back to the Future from like you know people who love that and
yeah.
have morphed it into something else.
Oh, yeah.
That is less family friendly.
By the way, the musical itself, it actually has music and lyrics by Alvin Silvestri. And it's actually taken an adaptation from the book, apparently, that Robert Zemeckis and Bob Gale both wrote. And it's supposed to debut on the 20th of February next year. So that's going to be interesting.
Look up how much tickets for that cost. Well,
it looks like it's starting in London's West End.
Ugh, it's always London.
Oh, no. I take that back.
Why does London get this? This is an American film.
So it's not a Broadway musical. It's just a musical. In May 2019, it was announced the show would finally receive its world premiere at Manchester Opera House in February 2020, ahead of an expected West End transfer. Show is set to star Ollie Dobson playing the role of screen star Michael J. Fox's Marty McFly. So there you go. You're welcome.
Let's just go to England.
Yeah.
Easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
Go to England.
It's just across the pond.
Just across the pond with some scones. Spot of tea.
You know.
Bit of biscuits.
Do you have some crisps?
So anyway.
We can do this all day.
Yeah, no, I know. That's why we have to move on.
Spencer, right the ship. What the heck is that?
This is like the ship turning.
Is that what that was? That's
the wind blowing the sails.
Yeah. I was like, somebody opened a window. Oh my gosh.
It's an old ship. A trustworthy ship.
It's an old ship that apparently runs on a rubber tire. Got it. All right.
Let's talk about the cast from this movie, because pretty much this is like perfect casting. Okay, who are you hemming and hawing over?
Well, I'm just saying, like, Michael J. Fox, yes, it seems to be lightning in a bottle for Michael J. Fox.
Uh-huh.
You know, for his time as an actor, yeah, I mean, it was great.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how old he was when he actually filmed the film, but, like, he's great in the role.
Uh-huh.
Everyone else, though, I don't know. Like, I think it's one of those mindsets where it's like, you know,
you mean
just
literally everyone else you're kind of meh about?
Well, definitely Crispin Glover. He's like the most weirdest person on screen.
Yeah, but like his dad is weird.
Yeah, but how do you play the same person for over like 30 years?
Yeah, like when he was the creepy thin man or whatever.
Exactly, in Charlie's Angels. Yes! Yeah. He's like, or what was that rat movie that he was in?
Oh, what was that? What? Oh, God. I don't know, but yeah. He's just been a creepy person like on screen.
The dude almost got into a fight with, what's his name?
David Letterman.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Like, he's over here, like, throwing kicks and, like, huh, Dave, you want to get into a fight? I can show you how I kick. And, like, literally almost kicks David Letterman in the head.
Okay. Like, I can't speak to the people in the movie, but I'm just saying that as that weirdo character, he did a good job.
As that weirdo character.
I mean, the guy was a peeping Tom.
Yeah. So. Like, someone who is going to be weird.
But I feel like that was just him on his off time. They just happened to catch him with a camera. Like, I don't really think, I don't think highly of Crispin Glover. Like, he's just an awkward guy. And somebody who has that much of an issue with whatever he's got issues with. Like, I think he's even got, like, a chip collection or something. I don't know. He's weird. There's a lot of things that are really weird about Crispin Glover that I just really can't get into. Because, like, we would take all night.
Next time.
Okay. Well, like, you're not wrong. Yeah, that's all weird. But I'm just saying that... Oh, my gosh.
Look at... That's his chip collection. I wasn't lying. See?
These are chips like...
Like potato chips.
Like potato chips.
Yeah. Those look huge.
That's his collection,
Spence. Okay, are you sure this isn't like a look weird
he's
bit
like, look,
thing?
Look, feel my arm. He's like, no, feel my arm. Look at, and then look at. He's getting all cranky, and then he tries to kick David Letterman in the face.
Whoa.
And then that's when David Letterman's like, yeah, I'm done. And Crispin's like, no, stay here, wait, be my friend. All and right. Then David Letterman just walks off, and he sits back down, and then when they come back, he's gone. Like, there is no Crispin Glover.
Wow. I did not know any of this. This is news to me.
Okay, so that looks
edumacate
a,
yourself.
A lot. Okay.
I just, I love seeing actors be dumb. So I'm just saying.
I have a question about the cast.
Sure.
Between the first one and the second one, the girlfriend.
Oh,
yeah, they swapped her out.
Yeah, they swapped her out. What was the story behind that?
I think it was real basic. Like, the first girl was just busy with something else.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. Wasn't a whole, like, you're just
there wasn't
bad.
Like,
okay,
a whole...
She didn't seem bad or anything. Like,
no.
Okay. Like, but, you said, contracts are a thing.
But it's amazing how they, like, just, like, popped in someone. Like, with a space of, like, a few years, you're not going to recognize
that. I mean,
that.
They did the same thing with Mark Ruffalo. And
well, we
Edward
all
Norton,
noticed yeah. that, though.
Ah, so here's the reason. It says Elizabeth Shue was cast as Jennifer and all of the closing shots of Back to the Future from the 1985 first one. All the closing shots were reshot for the beginning of the second film.
Right. Mm.
Claudia Wells was unable to reprise her role as she had to stop acting because her mother had been diagnosed with cancer.
Oh.
She did return to acting for the independent film Still Waters Burned in 2008. So, there you go. I mean, she wasn't bad. I don't know.
Well, we didn't really spend a whole lot of time with
no,
her.
Like, Claudia Wells was in it for, like, maybe a whole minute. Yeah. Maybe a minute and a half. And all of that's really towards the end of the first film.
Mm-hmm.
The beginning is, like, her making out with Marty in front of her dad, which was really kind of awkward.
Yeah, that was weird.
He kissed her in front of her dad. I would never do something
I
like
know.
That as a teenager. Brave.
Brave, yes. But I think Elizabeth Shue was a really good recast for the role because she just seemed to have a little bit more flexibility, I guess, with the role. Because in the second film, Elizabeth Shue has to be, like, super animated and she's, like, screaming and yelling and, you know, passing out in front of her older self. And
being her older self.
And being yeah. her older self, that's right. So I think she did a really good job. I don't know, like, Claudia Wells... Her and her career, I don't know how vast that is, her filmography, but I'm more than certain, like, I don't know if she would have made that role her own. However, it does look like she did do the video games version of herself. Like,
oh.
she portrayed the video game version of herself in the what looks like the Back to the Future, the game episodes. So I think those are the ones.
The Telltale ones?
I believe
yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. Not to mention the PC game, the Back to the Future, the game 30th anniversary edition in 2015. She also did the voice of Jennifer in that one.
Hmm.
So, I don't know what happened to Elizabeth Shue, but hey, I mean, more power to her.
Yes.
I don't know. Hey, Claudia Wells was like, I'm going to get back in the game.
Well,
for sure.
Yeah, she got back in the game. Let's see. Other than that, what did you put down Easter eggs for? Because I don't know what that is.
I'm glad we're talking about this on air. Because there's a ton of different things in the film, especially the second film, you know, when it comes to things that we are now past 2015. And a lot of the things that we saw in 2015, like Marcus was mentioning earlier about the hoverboards.
Oh, you mean like time stuff, like what didn't actually show up?
Well, yeah, but even like the stuff like we, so you and I got a chance to see the Honest trailer yesterday and again a little bit ago. And it's funny how unique and interesting they point out a lot of the obvious things. Like, yeah, we don't have hoverboards, but we are so inundated with 3D movies, it's not even funny. With the Jaws.
Oh, the Jaws scene in the movie, yeah.
Well, no, that just made me sad because, like, there's so many crappy movies that are in 3D.
And Spencer loves 3D.
I hate 3D.
I mean, it is absolutely his favorite thing to go. He would go see Birdemic in 3D if he could.
I would go see Birdemic in 3D.
This is why we're not going to go see Birdemic in 3D.
Oh, my gosh.
But, like, all these movies that they're doing now in 3D, not to mention, like, all the stuff, like, using your hands now for video gaming.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, we now live in an age where VR and AR are, like, completely synonymous with gaming now. So you don't necessarily have to use your hands. You can walk into an actual, you know, simulation and do stuff.
Yeah, I guess. So from the, you know, where we ended up in 2015 versus where the movie ends up.
I got to do some editing because you decided to go and.
Yeah, like, well, I didn't
wait,
get
let's
it.
Break the fourth wall. Why did you put this in here?
You know, sometimes walls come crashing down. And
thank you, Mr. Gorbachev.
Tear down this wall.
Exactly.
Tear it down.
I knew Ronald was going to pop up.
Okay, anyway. Yeah, so clearly we did not get flying cars in 2015.
I mean, technically, we sort of did. I mean, there's been prototypes. We're not mass-produced flying cars,
obviously.
Yeah,
like, I've seen the prototypes, and they're kind of just planes.
It's kind of just like a helicopter.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Like,
I mean, hey. Yeah.
Like,
it's a start.
It's a start, but like when you really, truly, truly think about this, do you want people who can't even turn on their turn signal to have a flying plane type car that they could just plow into
your
house?
You know what? I'll tell you what. I'm still waiting for the age where those three seashells appear in the bathroom. Am I the only one? I'm just waiting for those three seashells. That is my only futuristic expectation. I have yet to see the three seashells.
Okay. Like, that's a different movie.
Rob Schneider was supposed to explain that to me. He doesn't know what the three seashells are for. I don't know what those are for still.
I don't want to know what they're for because
I feel like
too,
that would hurt to scrape
too,
a scrape.
It's too
They're
messy.
Not even, like, flushable. Like, what do you do? Are you supposed to, like, rinse them? I don't even know.
You're talking to me about breaking the fourth wall, and this is the conversation you choose to put in instead?
It's true. Demolition Man. Great movie. Was on the other day.
I think I watched that, yeah. Next time we talk about Demolition Man.
There we go. But, like, Easter eggs, like, even in some of the aspects of, like, TV, I mean, we obviously get now, like, the 50s nostalgic diners. We have those everywhere. Mel's Diner is literally on every corner. I'm literally considering to go to Mel's Diner after here and get a steak and egg dinner before we go home. But, like, the things like that, like, you get all these unique little tidbits of what we actually have. Like, the instantaneous food stuff. Like, the water... water
on your pizza and you get a fresh pizza?
Well, I don't know about that, but, like... I've seen the little gummies that look just like those pizzas. I've thought about it. You've never seen those little gummies?
No, I don't know.
I mean, they have those MREs or whatever that you just put water in, you shake them up, and it's cooked. I mean,
yeah,
that's,
but like...
That's closer than the flying car.
That's true.
It's closer, but that is nowhere near
I mean,
the
if we
consumer
can get,
level.
If we can get Rey's Rising Bread from the first Force Awakens, we can get this.
I'm pretty sure we can get that.
Exactly.
There's lots of food from the Star Wars universe I don't want to be ingesting.
What about you
that
know,
that? What about blue that milk?
I was
no,
just gonna
that's
say.
Exactly what I'm trying to avoid.
Or you want that fresh green milk?
Oh, God.
Luke was about to suck it straight from the source.
Okay, so moving back towards Easter eggs for Back to the Future, the movie we're talking about.
Or even, like, the whole FaceTiming thing. Like, it's not, it's like video conferencing, essentially, but, like, while he's talking to Needles.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, and his boss shows up.
And
yeah.
his boss.
Yeah.
McFly!
I have to say, that probably right there is the horror story of video conferencing, of people just being able to, like, just pop in.
Yeah.
Kind of like the Alexa drop-in feature.
Ooh,
thing.
Scary.
Where you can just show up and someone's thing and it's turned on.
You've been talking bad about this version for, like, 15 minutes, and you look, and it's like, oh, why is that yellow light? Oh.
It's that scene that, like, they're right behind me, aren't they?
Exactly. Exactly. But, like, I just think, like, one of the unique things about the second film, specifically the second film, is how much, yes, we are not in line with mm-hmm. what the movie said was going to happen, but also how much we're also, like, getting into the line of. Say, for instance, obviously hoverboards aren't a real thing, but...
Well, they kind of are. Oh,
but...
God, don't even bring that up.
Like the Lexus hoverboard?
Are you talking about the one that Tony Hawk... test road.
I think it was Tony Hawk. Yeah,
it's like with like magnets and something, whatever.
And dry ice or
that
something.
One. Yeah, we're gonna bring up the other one that all the kids ride around.
No,
those ones.
It
that
has
explode.
One job and it doesn't even do it. It doesn't hover. How are you gonna call it a hoverboard?
I fell off one. It hurt.
Oh man, I fell off of one of those like when they first came around, and then after I heard that they explode, their batteries explode. I'm like, nope, never again. I'm not putting my legs on that. Nope. I you know, cherish and treasure my legs.
Hey, I mean, keeping in line with kind of like the 2015 timeline, I think, I don't know if like baseball-wise, like I think the Cubs were almost there to win the World Series, right?
I think they had one.
Yeah, they had one that year, right?
I think so. I remember hearing about
that. And I remember like there was like a video that was like the craziest thing about Back to the Future is that the Cubs are about to win the World Series. And I was like, oh, where's my flying car still?
Yeah, they won it in 2016.
Oh, 2016. Okay, I think
they were a year late.
They were good in 2015. I think they were about to do something like
well,
that.
Well, I mean, the butterfly effect. I'm pretty sure they did, you know, Marty did something or crushed on somebody's foot who didn't end up going to the World Series and they had to wait another year. But it still worked out. Yeah. I mean, hey. Ashton Kutcher taught me that.
That movie.
Disturbing.
Very awesome. But
what?
It was. Liked it.
Really weird scene in that movie that made me wildly uncomfortable.
Okay. Are you talking about the alternative ending to him?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely...
Okay, but like... I know we're not talking about this movie, but you know... That in the sequels to The Butterfly Effect,
those are horrible.
It gets really weird.
I never watched anything after the first one. If you have a franchise where your second and third film do not have the original character, there's no reason for me to watch that film. You are not that great of a director to make me want to come back to see a film that doesn't have the person from the first film continuing their journey. If they had done Indiana Jones, the first film, Raiders of the Lost Ark,
uh-huh.
and then they tried to do Temple of Doom with Tom Selleck, I'd be like, nope, I'm good. I'm done. Out. No thanks.
And then bring Harrison back for the last one?
Exactly.
Just don't say anything.
Exactly. Like, I've changed. My hair got darker. And I just...
They'd be like, oh, you got a haircut, Indy.
Where's your big broom mustache?
Like, what are you talking about?
But I think those are like some of the Easter eggs in the second, mostly the second film, yeah. Just because of how close we are to 2015.
Yeah, we're pretty far from 1885. It's really.
Speaking of Easter eggs, do you remember that thing called water from a well? Shoot. No, but like I think looking at the 2015 perspective of the film and even everything that they're doing, like inversion therapy, although it's like something completely illogical with a floating. Inversion chair, like they have inversion chairs now with people who have issues with backs. Like they'll leave them hanging upside down to alleviate the stress on the.
Oh yeah, yeah. Huh.
And they don't do that. They didn't do that as often or even as frequent outside of like hospitals during the 80s. But like now in the film, it was like it was a regular thing. He's literally coming into a house upside down on an inversion chair, and that's actually pretty cool.
But we still don't have anything that hovers, though. And that's really where my heart is at. I want me a hoverboard.
You know what, Spence?
Hmm?
I agree with you.
Yeah. I know you would.
Yeah.
Okay. So, getting closer to the end of our time together.
And what is this, Mr. Rogers?
As we draw closer to the end, my friends.
Puts on the shoes, puts on the sweater.
Grabs his cup of Kool-Aid and is like, we're going to do this.
Why is that the Kool-Aid?
Hello, neighbor.
Hello, neighbor. Won't you be my neighbor?
Okay. So, this movie is very dear to my heart. I'm just skipping over both of you guys. But I want to talk about the time travel in this movie.
Okay.
Because we're going to get into the weeds a bit.
That's a very deep and very, you know, very knowledgeable conversation. So by all means, let's jump into that.
Okay. I fundamentally think that the way time travel works in this movie does not, in fact, work.
If there's one thing Futurama has taught me, mm-hmm. all time travel does not work. I've learned that.
You're talking about that one episode where they just crushed themselves.
Exactly. If one thing Professor Farnsworth has taught me, every time travel experience creates a time paradox that will write itself within the universe. I'm not going back anywhere. I don't even care if you've done it right. And here's the unique thing. And I think we talked about this with Avengers Endgame. I really believe if something has actually changed, if somebody has been able to figure out time travel,
mm-hmm.
we wouldn't even know.
Yeah.
Because everything would be changed.
Yeah.
Even our mindsets. Like, we're not going to remember, like, hey, do you remember when Tom yesterday had yellow hair and now he's dead? When did that happen?
Didn't even want to change his hair. He just died.
Well, yeah, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about, you know. So, from the movie specifically. So, at the Enchantment Under the Sea dance, right?
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. It's after George has punched Biff in the face.
Mm-hmm.
They're at the dance, and then some...
Which is like the longest punch in the entire world. He may have like just... put it on TV first to telegraph it to Biff.
Yeah, well, Biff's an idiot, so...
That's true.
You know, who knows? this redheaded guy just pushes him out of the way, and then Marty starts to fade out of existence. But then he comes back, and then pushes this guy out of the way, and then Marty just pops back into existence.
Springs up.
Like, Marty had no influence there, so, like, if he was gonna die and not exist, he would have died and not exist.
Well, and here's the bigger thing. Did. Like, honestly, if at any point in time in this story, if the parents were not destined to still get together,
mm-hmm.
Marty would not have just existed at the very beginning of all of this.
Yeah.
Like, him meddling in the first place, where he pushes his dad out of the way, he should have literally, like, when he pushed his dad vanished. Out of the way, vanished.
Okay.
That's where I think the whole time travel paradox, according to Professor Farnsworth.
Okay, but that, even that is suspect in itself. Because, okay, you got the dad, you push him out of the way, he stops existing, who pushed you out of the way? No one.
Yeah.
So you're not pushed
out of the way. Yeah, so it creates, like, you just have to, just movie magic at some point, like... There's time magic.
I don't know. Explain that to the Avengers.
Right? I know. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, they took the interesting approach of, like, everything happens in the parallel universe. There is no time travel, which
that's messy.
That is messy.
But that actually,
especially when the world hinges on.
Well, that makes more sense though.
The parallel universe is where he's explaining it with the chalkboard.
Yeah, because then you can never, like, delete yourself from the universe accidentally.
But in the third one, he has to get back at the end to the original universe.
You can never get back.
So what? So okay. So that's my question at that point. Like, Jennifer wakes up, she's left on that couch outside of what's presumably maybe her home. It might not be because Marty's home wasn't the same in the alternate 1985. She's left in that alternate 1985, and nobody messes with her. Nothing bad happens to her, and she wakes up in. This
the regular universe.
The regular new universe because yes. It's so, the universe where Marty has that cool Toyota
yes.
Tacoma.
Yeah.
And when he gets back in the third, it's actually a jalopy. so what I'm to understand is you're saying that the Back to the Future franchise ultimately, as the conclusion happens, has given more validity to the multiverse theory than the actual idea of him changing his own past for his own future.
Yes. Okay. Because I feel like
I think you're giving way too much credit to Back to the Future.
No, I think I'll agree with you on this point.
Yeah, 2-1, you lose.
Take it easy over there, blue shirt. Look, you know what? I'm all good with that. You know, even who was it? Stephen Hawking had said it was the most accurate. I think it was Stephen Hawking. He said it was the most accurate time travel film that had been made for a long while, which I don't know when that quote was made, but I know he had said it at one point in time, which is great. I mean, if you're looking for entertainment, yeah, the best, you know, portrayal of time travel. However, I still believe there are time paradoxes that have been created as a result of everything he did. Like, I honestly feel like that particular Marty should have disappeared the moment everything was done.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause the moment he goes back into his original time zone, time universe,
mm-hmm.
it should have either created a time paradox because there's essentially two of them existing, or I don't know.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying, because, like, in this new universe, there's a new Marty, because the new Marty told his mom about the trip when the old Marty did not.
So in that first universe, the original 1985, is there just no Marty after he leaves?
Yeah, in theory, just went missing.
Him and Doc are just gone.
Either that or, like, a new one showed up from the good universe and showed up here.
So that's like where, but, like,
it gets so weird.
I think at the time, probably people weren't on that level of, like, thinking, like, oh, there's a multiverse. They're just like, oh, this is just time travel. But, you know, looking back now.
Yeah, like, I feel like multiverse theory was probably not something that came up often in TV shows in the 80s.
Yeah, but I think one reason why we, like, are talking about this movie is because, like, it started that conversation for,
regular
people. Like, what is this multiverse thing? Like, there's not just time travel. Like, there's other things out there, like, besides just a linear line.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I totally think this is we're, like, advanced concepts of this. Because, like, as a kid, I was thinking about this all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. You're a nerd.
Yes! That is what this podcast is about.
You're
people
right.
People who are nerds talking about things they love.
It's true. And got a point. Not gonna lie.
I'd love this movie.
Well, I think it's an interesting perspective. I think the fact that Avengers literally just poked holes all throughout your theory and is thrown Back to the Future out of the window says a lot about where we are as a current day scientific society. But hey, I mean, you know, I'll tell you what, I'll take the Hulk over your DeLorean any day.
I'm just telling
Hulk
you.
Hulk smash, brother. Hulk smash.
No. Avengers Endgame doesn't work.
Whatever it takes.
There you go. Whatever it takes.
I'm just saying, Endgame still doesn't
work. That's Captain America's butt.
How the heck did he get to the future by waiting? He's supposed to go to a different universe. How does that work?
I'll tell you what. You go hit up the Russos and see if him and the writers of the actual film can get the story straight.
Yeah, they're not going to.
Why don't we all just go to the Cronenberg world and just stay in that universe?
Let's horrible. Not. Well, no.
So, but yeah, okay. I feel like the science behind it at the time worked, but I think also at the same time there's a lot of things that have yet to be kind of talked about or discussed for a lot of people who've dug deep into the whole idea of, you know, time travel. And as of right now, I don't know. Like, I feel like it's a great exploration into the creative entertainment aspect of time travel,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not too sure how well it holds water in terms of, in, like, my outside mindset, you know, cognitive thinking.
Are you talking about, like,
the time travel aspect,
actual practical applications?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Let's go with that.
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
I would assume this holds zero because it.
Well, apparently you've been thinking about it since you were a kid, so I'm just trying to make sure, like, Spencer, I don't want to go to your garage and wonder, like, see if you're finding, like,
it's like boards.
Your old Saturn being, like, topped with a blender and, like, I'm going to make it go 88 miles an hour.
I think it's a movie.
Yeah.
Through and through. But it's a great, especially, you know, as like, how old was I when I first saw the movie? I think I saw the movie years after it had come out. So, I mean, I was probably, like, 7 or 8 by the time I seen it. And I think it's a great conversation starter and great movie to show like a kind of different dimension of thinking for, you know, an audience, and especially a young audience too.
Actually, like, you're super right on that, because this actually got me thinking about like actual, like real world science and like things I'd never heard of. Like, I actually looked up like, you know, quantum theory and like string theory and things like that.
Okay, Sheldon, take it easy over there.
I got like a degree in it. I'm just saying, I like looked it up on Wikipedia.
I found me a friend named Leonard, and we totally started going.
Or like when Doc's like, "Oh yeah, this baby's like nuclear powered," and I'm just like, "What does that even mean?" And then I look it up, and I'm just like, "Yeah, nobody should ever have this. Like, this is horrible. Like,
this is illegal for a reason." Yeah. Like, even the container that he holds the plutonium in, and like, that's literally just a jar of water. That's not how plutonium is shielded.
Yeah, there's a lot of parts where I'm like, you've got to be sterile at this point.
That's why Doc never had kids. Just saying.
But he did.
The third one.
Well, maybe they're adopted. You don't know.
Jules and Vern.
They found them. You don't know? What part of that story did you watch? Yeah. Don't look at me like that.
All right, well, it sounds like Eddie's ready to get to the end of this podcast.
Real quick, on that note, dubious that he created a time machine in 1885.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about this train nonsense.
He created the train, flying train, it has spaceship powers,
Yeah.
Okay, like, I'm willing to believe you could fix up a train if you really poured a lot of money into it.
But to have technology that is not available.
Yeah, like, you somehow got this train to fly without taking it to, like.
And he explains it away, goes, it runs off steam.
Who
knew?
You mean hot water powers this bad boy. Okay,
who knew my shower could be a time machine?
Right?
Hot tub time machine.
I'm just going to say, every time I jump in my shower, I go back in time. Start singing the Persuaders and everything like that. Shoot. Don't even play.
I think that's probably like
I'm not blowing your mind. Sorry, don't look at me like that.
Look at you.
I'll look at you. Please don't.
Okay. Yeah, that's probably like the one thing where the movie's kind of like, shut up. It's fine.
So they could do that, but Avengers can't.
Yeah, Spence. Come on,
Marcus. Whose side are you on? Right?
Hot water powered time machine. That's the knockoff to.
All right, if I'm gonna be picky against Endgame, I guess.
Not to mention, they adopted a little serial killer. That kid's got the weirdest look.
Okay, we don't talk about the kids. Those kids are weird.
The one kid is weird.
He's all say hi. Just
yeah.
Just waves.
Yeah, they must have been having a day.
Yeah, but I agree with you. Like, I don't know where the technology came from. Not to mention, shouldn't there have been, like, all these advancements in the current day that Marty was in? Like, shouldn't there be, like, flying... There should be no usage of the train tracks that are there currently.
Wait, why not?
Wait.
Because Doc figured out a way to make them fly. And I'm pretty sure somebody, during the course of 1885 and 1985... In 100 years, you're saying nobody saw this gosh darn flying train flying through the air.
Okay, but like, there's a different... In 1885, you know how hard it is to take a picture of something for proof? Like, it has to stand still. No one's going to be able to catch that on photograph for a while.
They explained it away like
that. Exactly.
Yeah, aliens, too.
Whatever. That's why the train is now... That's why the train's now at Area...
Roswell.
I was just going to say, that's what's at Area 51 right now. Doc Emmett Brown is chained up somewhere.
Oh, man.
Marty! Get me out, Marty!
And then Marty Naruto runs to, like, Area 51.
All right.
Okay. Well, does anyone else have any final thoughts or issues with this movie?
I go all day, but I think I would just like to know the backstory at some point. What happens to make a teenage boy hang out with an old dude scientist?
Money. Money and a lot of cocaine.
I mean,
the man's a scientist, he can make it happen.
I was watching it the other day and I was like, they're not related. Was he a teacher at one point at the high school? Like,
he was a disgraced physicist. He wasn't even popular.
Yeah,
like, apparently everybody in the town knew, like, don't mess with this Dinkelberg. Nobody wants to hang out with him.
And just Marty McFly is just like, oh, he seems like a cool guy. Gives me wine coolers.
Gives me wine coolers and back rubs. I'm good to go. Just
no, it was probably like something stupid where like Marty somehow found out he had an amplifier and asked him about it, and then he stopped him for like an experiment, and then they just became friends somehow.
Is that what it is? Like literally he just met him like 2 days prior to the beginning of the first movie. Like, hey, I hear you got an amplifier. Yeah, why don't you come in and take a look? You can go and play it. And he just lets him come in and plays it. And
well, I don't like the way that sounded. That's creepy.
That's
my point. It's kind of creepy.
The like. Premise of this film is a little creepy. Like, from its bare bones, you take out the time travel thing. It's the love story between a young man and an old man. Let's just be honest. That's what it is. A tale as old as time. Come on.
Like, people can be friends.
Spencer.
What?
No. No. I think you got a segment here, don't you?
Okay. So, because Eddie sprung it on me, I'm going to spring it on him. It's time for Fantasy Cast. What is that?
That's the beginning of the song for the intro of the Woody
Show. Right. I got confused by this last time, too.
It's true. I'm starting to see Spencer getting confused quite a bit.
Because Mariah Carey is not usually who I associate with this podcast.
Oh, because the song. Oh, I got
you know
it
what? Just listen. Yeah.
Yep, it's everyone's favorite podcast sideshow, Fantasy Cast, where we.
I love the excitement in his voice. Like, we're doing this.
It's just the most distracting song ever. Because you got like John Bailey at the beginning, in a world where blah, 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 blah. And then it's just.
Hey, don't hate on Mariah, okay?
I'm not hating on
don't
Mariah.
Hate on
I'm
her.
Just saying it's, okay? I'm it's just a saying. Turn.
She's had a hard life. Nick Cannon didn't make it easy, okay? Just saying.
Gosh, let's not get into other people's marriages. We're having a hard enough time with the marriages in this movie.
Okay.
We are going to be fantasy casting four characters. All right. Our choices are Marty, Doc, Mr. Strickland, and Biff. So let's see who would like who wants to go first. You want to go first, Ed? Oh, you want to go first, Marty?
I'll go first. For Doc, I got Willem Dafoe.
Ah.
That's how creepy that would be.
You got the Green Goblin as Doc. That actually works. I was thinking, one of the ones I had Mr. Strickland for. Steve Austin. That just totally makes sense to me. Like, Steve Austin to me, hey, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? Like, just him in his raspy voice, literally, like, opening up two cans of beer in the middle of the school hallway, smashing them together and drinking them. Like, that's my kind of principal. I'd actually be proud. Like, I wouldn't be a slacker if I had a principal like that.
The rattlesnake.
There you go. Just saying. I'm just saying.
Okay, I actually really like Steve Austin.
He's bald. Strickland's bald. It works.
Okay.
I love sidetracking Spencer like that.
Great.
Oh, jeez. Did you mention Biff Tannen? I don't think I heard that.
No.
Did you have
somebody for Biff? I didn't have anybody for
Biff. Oh, I did. Because I thought it would be stupid. I was thinking putting Ryan Reynolds as Biff.
Oh my gosh.
It'd be so ridiculous.
Ryan Reynolds in a fat suit again? Like being a bigger Biff? Because obviously you can't be the smaller, skinny Ryan Reynolds. He has to be a little bit thicker. He's got to be a bully.
Yeah. Yeah, you can make him bigger. Like, he's not a very good bully.
He's not. Which is why I'm surprised you picked him.
I'm just trying to picture him, like, be like, say hi to your mom for me in that scene. And his voice.
It'd be, like, super
hilarious.
Creepy.
He's like, say hi to your mom for me.
Yeah, like that. It's going to be like.
Like, where's the threat? Like, no.
It's less
more
of
like
a threat.
Deadpool kind of jab.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like there's like a lead up to that joke for Ryan Reynolds. Hey, you know what? It could work.
Yeah.
We live in 2019. Hey, anything's possible.
Yes, literally anything is possible.
All right, so who would you have as Marty? Do you have an idea for Marty?
Eric Stoltz. Okay, here's what you do. You get Eric Stoltz, but he's voiced by Justin Roiland.
What? Oh, jeez, Rick. Oh, no, I don't think that'll work.
it's 2019. Literally anything can
happen. But then it's just another Rick and Morty knockoff in the most stoic of faces in Eric Stoltz. Is Eric Stoltz still even alive?
Why do you think everyone is dead?
I don't know. I
mean, people with yellow hair apparently die really quick.
Exactly. See? Oh, he's still alive. Okay. Oh, and he's 57.
What about Michael Cera?
Oh my gosh, that's such an awkward Marty McFly.
I mean, maybe for like the dad.
No, that's brilliant. That's good. That's good.
Actually,
I don't. I would never want to see Michael Cera in anything where he plays a hero or a protagonist. I just don't like him.
That's why he'd be perfect for this. No,
that's what I'm saying.
Tom.
No, I agree 100%. Not as Marty. Like, if I was to do anybody as a Marty right now.
Yeah, Marty's really hard, though.
Well, he is.
I think it's just because you have Michael J. Fox.
Yeah. And it's such a great casting.
Yeah.
What about the dude from High School Musical?
Zac Efron?
Zac Efron.
I'm just thinking out loud, okay? Don't kill me. Or, you want to talk about Marty? Ryan Reynolds. There you go. I can see Ryan Reynolds doing a good Marty.
Ryan Reynolds as both Biff and Marty.
Exactly. That works.
Then it's just a Deadpool movie at that point.
I'm just saying. You have somebody as unique as Ryan Reynolds. He's like the John Hamm of younger people. Like, John Hamm, for me, can do anybody. Like, I would say John Hamm is Biff. John Hamm would play a really good Biff.
He
could be sleazy. He could be like greasy and a slime ball and have slight charm and be a bully. He was a bully in Good Omens.
Mm. Okay, so I'm beginning to remember Chad telling me about the famous.
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
He was talking about how you always casted Jon Hamm.
And for the mom, Jon Hamm.
Yep, even in the roles where it made no sense.
Yep, exactly. Einstein, Jon Hamm, in a dog suit. If Elijah Wood can do it for that one series on FX, Jon Hamm can do
Wilfred?
It. There you go. Yeah. Wilfred. Wilson.
Oh, Elijah Wood as Marty.
There you go. That's actually a good one.
Hobbit.
There's not really a lot of younger enigmatic actors right now in Hollywood. Like, there's nobody that stands out to me as him.
I was gonna say but he wouldn't do it now, but if we were talking about this back in 2010, Shia LaBeouf.
I don't know, I feel like he would have had a nervous breakdown. He would have done the same thing that Jim Carrey did on the set of Man on the Moon. He would have totally had a mental breakdown and was like, I'm inhabited by the body of Michael J. Fox or something. He would have I felt like it would have been a whole situation.
No, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Because if there was ever a reboot and it was around then,
it would have been him. You know, he had his moment from 2006 to 2010.
After the first Transformers, but before whatever one was the annoying one, which was mostly all of them.
The third one was the most annoying one.
Which one was that? Was that the dinosaur one?
That's the one where they lose That's the one where Megan Fox is left by that point.
Oh, thank goodness. How is that the most annoying one?
Then they bring in some other chick and the dude from Grey's Anatomy is in it. It's just
McDreamy.
Oh, what about this? Finn Wolfhard as Marty.
Ooh. Yeah, he's probably he'd be good.
Yeah, I think that'd actually work. I mean, he's just so promising now. It seems like everything he's doing actually really works for him.
Mm-hmm.
It would be either him or Dylan Grazer, the kid who plays Eddie from It. I think he would be hilarious. He's the one who also played the brother in Shazam.
Oh.
The one with the...
Was it the same kids?
Yeah.
Huh.
You know people grow, right?
Yes.
Just saying.
Especially children.
Especially children. They grow and they change.
It's just been a long time since I've been a child.
Yo, life happens. It has not been that long.
It's been 20 years.
Jack Dylan Grazer, that's his name.
There you go.
What about, I feel like we missed somebody. Did we miss somebody? Nope.
No, we got him.
No, that's pretty much everyone
that's
in Hollywood. We've got over.
That's everyone in Hollywood?
Yeah, that's everyone
in Hollywood. Short of Willem Dafoe and... Shia LaBeouf.
Willem Dafoe. That's, just a really great. That was an interesting.
Shot. How crazy his eyes would look. Just,
he already looks crazy. He already looks like he's gonna hurt somebody.
Redford, Marty.
Yeah. Like,
oh my gosh.
That's why I would be so interested in that version, because it'd be terrifying.
Like, I would be scared out of my
this
mind.
This would be the horror movie version of
Batman. Like, you know how Doc it makes his eyes big? Because Willem Dafoe would just look like extra creepy. Just
great Scott.
Like, I'm thinking, like, I don't know about you guys, but I'm thinking like Willem Dafoe from like Boondock Saints.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm thinking right now. Yes.
I'm like, there's a lot of mannerisms that I don't know would translate well to this day and age. But, I mean, hey, anything is possible. But, yeah. Well, there you go.
Okay. Well, that pretty much wraps up this episode of the Filmlosophers. I don't know what the outro is, so I'm going to make it up as I go along.
There you go.
You can find us on the web at...
The worldwide.
The worldwide, the intrawebs.
We're everywhere where you want us to be.
What are we, MasterCard?
Yeah, pretty much. Our Twitter is twitter.com/filmlosophy101, and we are on Facebook at facebook.com/filmlosophers. You know, I just want to say...
Did you catch our website, too? Because you said we're on the intrawebs, but you didn't really say the website. Like, we're just there. Just open your browser. We're there looking at you already.
You should Google it. It's worth a Google.
Browser. We're at filmlosophers.com. You know, we're just your friendly neighborhood filmlosophers.
What the heck? What are we, web slingers now?
Okay, like...
Come on, Spence.
Okay.
Land this plane.
I'm landing it. It's a rough landing. Like, all the lights are blaring. I just want to thank you, Marcus, for coming on the show.
Yeah, it was an awesome experience. Hope to be back at some point.
Like, don't leave us a bad rating on iTunes. We could be better.
We just need to be more organized on what the heck is happening. But this has been a great episode, and I'm hoping you enjoyed it too. So...
This is great. This is great. I'm totally going to have to keep this one on lock and like... Let's just refresh this, shall we?
Dang it.
All right, so this has been Spencer with the Filmlosophers. I'm Spencer.
I'm Eddie.
And I'm Marcus.
See you next time.